bed.
Okay.
Let's call this meeting to order, 7:43. And first item on the agenda is public comments. So if anyone has any comments, we're seeing nobody from the public here. I'll open it up to the committee members. Any comments up front? All right, seeing none, we'll move on to business. The first item of business is an update.
Well, we need to approve the minutes.
Oh, approve the minutes. I have a motion to approve the minutes. Has everyone had a chance to read them?
I second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Oh, and just for the record, everybody is in attendance here. Just for the record,
yes,
audio
sure.
Record.
Thank you. Now, first item of business, update on the street rehab project.
All right. We haven't started yet. We only did some concrete work and the project is on hold. We're doing some minor design on one of the streets. And until we finalize that, we will be getting the contractor back on.
So actually, it's a valley, and there's a lot of design work.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
So that's what they were spending time doing, and they wanted to have that done before they started deploying, because that's the biggest street and the biggest work to be done.
Yeah,
but we're anticipating that it should be starting sometimes within a couple of weeks.
My understanding that the issue with Valley, I guess it's the issue, or it's the reach from Loma to Saravella.
Okay.
And it appears that street was never initially engineered. It was just kind of developed over the years as houses were built or whatever, and so there was no true center line developed, and the street kind of meanders.
The street is the center line, and the right of way is been, you know, is there and it's clear. It was built more onto one side, so one side of the street is
the north side is done more,
which is the north side. Is correct, is within the public right-of-way. The other side is, if you want to widen it to the proper right-of-way, then we'll be getting into their property, more into the property and so on.
Well, you'd still be in the street right-of-way.
Yes, yes.
But they might have improved some stuff.
Yes.
The movement just was built more on one side of the street.
I've seen that.
So that's what it is. So we're trying to, as much as possible, to do the street without impacting as many residents.
But even up on both sides, so that everybody's treated fairly, that it's not disproportionately moving in one side or the other. But there'll be some work that has to be done. There's the second house in on the south side, second or third house.
Third house
has a protruding out. If you look at it, it actually comes out where there's a brick wall and trees and everything. That's going to have to be pushed back because that's way out. So there's some work that's going to have to, and that's design work that has to be done. Yeah. So everybody's being treated. And you can see up there, the center line's been marked. We did a survey.
Yes.
So it's a fair, as good as we can get it. It's still going to, it's not a straight street.
Yeah.
An answer, it's not a perfectly straight street. But
yeah, my understanding is that Seth's house, which is like the fourth house, to the west from Saravella, is on the south side, is his property line actually goes out to the center of the street?
Right of way is there, and some of the properties, it might be going to the middle of the street, but there is easements for right of way.
Mm-hmm.
So the right of way is already been dedicated and so on, and easements are there. So there's not, we don't have any problem with defining where the right-of-way is. There is a couple of locations where the right-of-way is half of the street. The right-of-way is 25 and a couple of locations is 20. But it still is within the pavement sections and so on. Yeah.
So there'll be some, you'll see everybody on both sides is candidly losing a little bit as we, because that road is very narrow at some point up in that stretch you're talking about.
Which
so
is
everybody is going to lose a little bit equally on both sides, and we're doing everything to keep it as consistent and straighten it out too, because if you look on one side, it's kind of like, you know, that. So we'll also be moving a utility pole that is pretty much a hazard as it sits right now on the north side.
On the north side on the third house.
Third house. That telephone pole is literally on the street.
Correct.
And it will be moved in. We're working with Edison to move that in.
What does it take to move a utility pole? Does it cost the city anything? Or
No, we've requested from the Edison to relocate it because it's within the public right-of-way. And it is within the pavement, so they have no problem of relocating it. They're doing the planning for doing that. It might not be done during the project. It might come out later on because you know how Edison, it takes a long time to move and so on and get things taken care of. But at least it'll be relocated. Right now, it is in the middle of the gutter.
It's a hazard.
So it's having them to relocate it. Yes.
So that's part of the work we're trying to coordinate so that we know what's going to be done on the road and everything. So that's the design element. There's a lot of little pieces like that all over.
But no temporary or permanent easements needed to do the project. We're drilling everything within the right-of-way.
Just the people have kind of built
stuff out into the right-of-way. In fact, what we did, if you go up there, you'll see stakes with pink on them up there.
Yeah,
many of them go halfway up their yards. It looks like that's our right of way. That's how wide it extends. So we have a lot of room.
It's not uncommon.
Because I know the mayor pro tem called me and said, "You're not going all the way there, are you?" Because I lose half my yard. And I said, "No, that's the just so you know, check that's the easement and you know the right of way." And we just marked it so we would know, you know, everybody would get a sense of we're within our boundaries. And so we had the survey do that, but it got a few phone calls when we saw people saying, "What's going on?" But that's what the pink was intended to do with the survey. So we had the guys out there doing their thing.
Is there an intent for the city to clean up the right-of-way and approach the individuals that are short by 5 feet to even up the right-of-way to the full 25?
We'll be talking, the right-of-way after we pave. We'll be talking to each resident as we walk up and down the street. So that's one of the deals. Once they finish the design, so each resident's going to get a visit, and we'll talk about it. But I don't know. After you're talking about the right of way, the side point after.
He said Akram mentioned that the right of way was not consistent, and that there were several like pocket parcels that have not dedicated the full right of way. That they're short by 5 feet or so. Have they been approached to ask if they would just to clean it up?
We would be getting. I mean, if we do that, we'll be getting into their improvements, at this moment, really, there is no need to do that as long as we have enough width, I'm going to say, pavement width from curb to curb, even though there's not, in one side, there's not a curb. We'll be putting a AC berm in order to define the actual pavement portion of the street. So that's, but there's enough width for to have travel lanes. So at this moment, there's no really need to get into right of way and get the property owners to dedicate. That's, I think, a couple of them, that additional 5 feet. Because we're not going to utilize it.
So street improvements are not going all the way from right of way to
right of way. No, it's not.
We're not planning to widen the street. We're not planning to
we'll make it more uniform, I think, is the point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the whole intention. Sure.
As you turn the corner, you see right away. If you come on, you see right away how it's jagged. And
it's mainly just, you know, by Del Cerro and up to about three homes. Mm-hmm. That's the area that's we're redoing. That's all.
So are the encroached improvements that are going to be relocated, are those costs going to be done by the city, or you're going to talk to
typically those, most of those are dirt-ish. They're not developed. I don't know many of those improvements. I think we'll be taking, their trees, certain trees,
Minor driveways.
Walls?
Driveways.
No. We're talking
about there's one retaining wall that we have to put in just because of the slope. We'll have to relocate the retaining wall, but that's, I think that's the extent
that's
of it. Most of it is all just minor, you know, little driveway portions or something that they can do cuts.
But any relocated retaining wall should be relocated to the right of way, correct?
It's the We need to, in order to widen that portion of the street, which is by about 5 feet, plus or minus, and since it's sloping, so we're putting a small retaining wall in order to pave that portion. We're not putting the retaining wall all the way to the right-of-way. Otherwise, it's going to be huge, because there's a big difference in the grade.
Yeah.
So we're trying to make it as cheap as possible, at the same time, kind of make it a uniform. That's all. All
right? Sounds like the right way to go.
You could see it if you actually, that's the one, like I said, the third house, where it juts out. And it's, I don't know the name of the couple, but it's an older
George
couple.
George and something. It's the third house on the south side.
Third house on the south side. But you can see where it juts out. Yeah. And there's just no question that it's...
It's right across from where Vince is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's got to be moved. To get the street right, you have to do it there. And that's the... But there's a huge slope right there, too. Anyway...
So what kind of a retaining wall? Is it going to be a masonry retaining wall? Or?
Yeah, it's a small, it's going to be more of a block wall.
Okay. Is it going to have a nice face, or is it going to be one of those flat, ugly, gray, cheap retaining walls? Can we get like a colored slump stone that matches the natural
brown color
or something?
The block wall is to have it a split face, similar to what the neighbor or the residence has, but from the street, you're not going to be able to see it. It's just on top of it. We're going to put in a rolled curb and a gutter, so it won't be the portion of the retaining is going to be all covered from the street. So you only see it from
the
resident side. And our intention is to kind of like match his walls, so it won't be ucly, or we don't need to stucco it or do any thing on it besides.
There is a retaining wall there; you just can't see it so much.
Yeah. Right here
too. Oh, okay. That's the other thing. So you, in the residence, when you walk out the front door, you definitely see it, but not from
the
across
the
street.
The rest is slope. Yeah, so it just reinforces their opinion that that's not public right-of-way, that that's still their yard, because we placed the wall back in the existing condition. They understand.
Yeah. They understand.
I mean,
we've had long discussions. Akram and I both have talked to them.
As a matter of fact, I was there also yesterday talking to them, too. You know, and
we go down the street and they come running out. I mean, they're very active, and so they're very interested.
So if somebody wrecks or drives off that edge of the road and lands in their yard, that they will be sued as well as the city. Mm-hmm. They understand that. Because mostly when you put it in those terms, then it's like, oh no, I don't want that liability. Just put them, put it at the right of way legally. So as long as they understand
The husband definitely understands. I think the wife is not as understanding, but he's saying it's all okay. And he said, we'll go talk about it. Let's go talk about it, and we get excused. they have their conversation. So. But anyway, we've had those conversations, exactly what you're saying.
Okay.
All right. So when do you anticipate the street project starting?
We'll start probably within a couple of weeks. Yes.
That's kind of related. I understand that they had to tear up Francisco again.
San Francisco has a sewer project.
Yeah.
The sewer project is they were required to pave flush with the street, with the pavement. And also it's included in the street rehab. When the street rehab comes in, there is grinding will occur. Okay? So in locations where the sewers is not part, or the street is not part of the street rehab, they're required to come in and after they base it to the same level of the pavement, they come in, grind 2 feet from each side of the trench and repave it.
Okay.
So that is kind of like a T-trench in order to prevent any cracking or sediment. But the Francisco and another street, they would not be grinding the edges it'll be just flush, you know, the sewer contractor, just space it and flush it for the street project to come in and do what's needed.
Okay, I got a call from a resident. They thought that they were retrenching, that they had to go back and do some rework on the sewer. Okay.
No, it's the retrenching, they remove the temporary asphalt.
Okay, that's
in the trench, they remove it, and then they put in a new, actual permanent AC asphalt. Yes. So it's not, we didn't retrench or anything.
Okay.
And talking about the sewer project is technically done. They're doing a minor punch list and a cleanup on that. Okay.
You probably saw them on San Diego as you drove by. That was the last stretch that they were doing.
Okay. Henderson, Stone Drain, it's almost...
There are some issues that we should be careful of because we're going to talk in closed session relative to some minor, I don't want to say that, the final resolution of what needs to be done, and I think that's a discussion that is a closed session. But the actual storm drain is in. The neighbor next door has extended at his expense the storm drain so that he can use this back, it becomes usable backyard. I think he had originally talked to the mayor at one point, but he basically, and at his expense, $130,000 or so, put in piping, the cement piping all the way to cover, and he covered over it with dirt, and we've had a grading plan and all those things, but he's at his expense, and he's got to raise fences and do some things that work there. But in essence, that's done. I think the head wall's even done, right?
The head wall, they started yesterday to frame it, so within a few days, it'll be complete.
So next Tuesday, the council will be talking about some other little elements, and then we are, from a rain perspective, we're not worried at this point. Everything's, you know, we should have no problems. Now it's a resolution with the owner, and I think that's just sort of the best to leave it at that.
Matter of fact, from the last rain that we had, after the rain, I walked through the pipe just to make sure that it is, we don't have any bird baths or anything. It was completely dry. It went through, worked very well.
Okay, good.
So we are actually, we've improved it. It's from where it was. I don't think we have I don't know what the life expectancy of the concrete is, but it's a lot longer than the corrugated metal.
We'll be long gone.
Don't say that. I don't like to think that. You're probably right, Mayor.
All right.
Cannon wall issue?
I've been busy with other things the past few couple of months. So.
Okay, so we'll table the cannon wall discussion until
next month. Election. Mm-hmm.
2 months out.
The next was the pavement management plan that you had, that we talked about last time, saying we sort of incrementalized. So I think we gave you the pavement management, and then I sent you a copy of that, but I also printed out copies of anybody wanted the appendix. Appendices. There's for that document, there's appendix A, B, C, and D, should you be interested. Push those down. I don't think Paige can reach that far.
Could try, but.
Appendix D. This is appendix A.
That's B.
Oh, that's
A. B is right over there.
A is over there. Oh, we have A.
This is D.
Yeah, okay.
So you had those, but I think what you were asking for the other day.
Right. I was wondering if they had, and they did, the cost of the treatment. So Appendix A was going to be very helpful. That was missing from the original copy, I guess.
Okay.
So, but in absence of that, I guess the main focus or the main item that we wanted to discuss today is how to implement or improve the pavement management plan going forward for the city, make it more efficient. So we'll open it up to discussion, and anyone has any comments or suggestions at this time?
Well, I guess what I've observed is we try to we try to work in areas where we're not spreading the contractor across too much of the city at a time, but maybe that's not such a big deal if we're leaving worse streets behind for the following year because it's further away from where the bulk of the work's being done. So maybe that's a little bit of a consideration. That maybe it's a hair bit more expensive if we spread them out, but really take care of the worst streets regardless of where they are and prioritize that instead of trying to stay clustered.
Is everyone pretty in pretty much agreement on that, with that respect, that the worst streets should be addressed first? Even generally, they're more expensive, less regard to. Or is there a, because I didn't have Appendix A, I did go through and made a quick spreadsheet based on what City of Brea uses for AC overlay in their streets or in their pavement management plan, and that's $2.15 a square foot. So based on that and $500,000 budget for overlay, I just looked at what our PMP identified as the lowest PCI index streets, and that's excluding the arterials, because generally I figured arterials would have a better chance at getting maybe outside funding, whether it's AHRP or grants, or at least supplemental funding that could be addressed almost as a separate project. But strictly for the local residential streets, the rest of our pavement management plan, what I found is that in yellow there highlighted are the cost of the AC overlay for the worst streets, and the in yellow is based on PCI index. This is about what we could do for $500,000, those streets. So part of the question is, do we have a separate budget for the slurry seal, for a slurry seal program? And if you can see, I costed all of these poorest streets as slurry seal at 25 cents a square foot. And there seems to be, you know, we're only at $95,000 cumulative, which is that far right-hand column. So the total cost if we slurried all of those streets would only be $95,000. So the question is, do we want to take the $500,000 budget that we have? Is that correct? Is $500,000 for the next go-around? Or is it going to be more?
Use that for now.
Well, no, okay.
Go ahead and keep going.
So do we want to set aside, do we want to do a combination of possibly overlay and slurry? Or really, if you look at the way PCI index is defined, this, most all of our streets, or the majority, would fall into the 1 to 5 year range to do something, which means that slurries usually last about 3 years.
I was going to say, that was my question, yeah. What does a slurry get you from a benefit?
Slurry gets you about 3 years, typically. And what I found too, I only looked at one of the streets, but all of these poor condition streets probably need to be evaluated, because one of the worst was labeled as Robbie Circle. And I just took a quick look on Google at Robbie Circle, and it looked really nice to me. I didn't see that would be ready for any type of an overlay, that it could survive a few more years on just a crack seal and slurry. So without having visually walked all of these streets, it does look like maybe a lot more of them could be slurried and extended rather than ground and overlaid. And maybe some others are worse.
What is slurry besides aesthetics?
It prevents a water, generally a part of the slurry seal program is to crack seal. So they clean and blow the cracks out, and then they apply this emulsion, and it prevents water from, during storms and heavy rains, it'll prevent the water from infiltrating into the cracks and causing subgrade failure. Mm-hmm. So it kind of slows the progression of subgrade failure because of the cracking and so on.
Yeah. Is slurry part of a regular, is that sort of
most
best
cities,
practice?
Most cities have a slurry program in addition to their regular CIP projects, right?
Yeah,
so they set aside a certain amount of money, and I haven't analyzed most agencies that we work with to see what that percentage is, but they set aside monies for what they see are the worst streets that probably need rehab and a lot of reconstruction maybe, or total reconstruction. And because they cost so much, that's one pot of money. And then they have an ongoing annual slurry program, which obviously is a lot cheaper at 25 cents versus 2.15. You can do a lot more streets, get more temporary bang for the buck. Mm-hmm. But it's not a permanent fix. Yeah.
Some of these are actually covered in our plan, aren't they?
Correct.
So some of these... But I think the example here is what you're trying to get to, right? You're trying to get to a point.
Right.
But I think some of these are addressed as part of the project that's going on now.
Correct.
But what you're saying is the concept, should we be doing streets that are...
Well, actually, if you look at our pavement and the way they define PCI index, most all of our streets really fall into the 1 to 5 year category. The next category
require maintenance in the next 1 to 5 years?
That preventive maintenance in the next 1 to 5 years is required.
Okay.
But it's not a now rehabilitate. So the next category lower for the PCI index is a now rehabilitate category. Locals, that should be between 40 and 45.
What does preventive maintenance include?
Generally a slurry seal and a crack seal. The rehabilitation, that generally describes an AC, a grind, an overlay. Which should give you a good, as a minimum, we should be shooting for 10 years, but we can design for 20 to extend our dollars.
Typically 10 years.
Yeah, 10 years. 20 years. Tends to drive the cost up. The problem is we're seeing also right now, because of oil prices and steel prices and so on, we're seeing most agencies are complaining about a 25% escalation in their bid costs. So I don't see that changing asphalt and general street rehab, any concrete improvements. The bid prices we're seeing are just unbelievable. So they claim it's because of steel and whatever, but they're busy.
Also.
Yeah, but everyone's busy right now too. So
if SB1 goes into effect, our prices are gonna double because everybody will have projects on the shelves ready to go.
Yeah.
And contractors are ready to basically double their profit.
So that is a good question about what our available budget will be for next year. It depends on November's election.
Yes.
Kenley, we will have, if the repeal of the gas tax happens, we will have 6 months that have already been allocated. And then starting in January, essentially, we will not have SB1 revenues from then forward. That's sort of, every city is sort of grappling with what do you do with that, because they budget a full year typically, or some cities didn't budget any of it, just knowing it might qualify. But it will be an issue for us about what's available to fund, obviously, because that's a lot of money coming that we would deal with.
And we should note that slurry seal projects, annual slurry seal projects, don't require design plans or the expense of design. Those can be a spec book with exhibits that the secretary can usually put together, or ACRAM can direct them to put together. We don't need to spend the $60,000 or whatever we spend on putting out a set of plans, because they're basically useless. It's not something the contractor will use. The county for years, has done their slurry seal program with a spec book, which is just 8.5 by 11 exhibits. And, once we actually do those for the entire city, and we can just have them split up either, we can do slurry. I mean, we can get a lot of bang for, let's say we don't have any money. We can spend it all, possibly on maybe one or two streets that are really bad shape, maybe rehabbing those and then doing a bunch of others with the slurry seal program for the next couple of years.
What happens to the PCI index after a rehab versus after a slurry seal? Do they both go as high?
Slurry seal basically gives you 5 years and then goes back to where it was. Mm-hmm. Right. 3 to 5 years max.
So how much of a point scale would it jump you from just as a...
For a rehab, you're basically into an excellent condition street.
Right.
So you would go from poor to the top
for slurry,
just 3 to 5 years. So you're probably
good?
Depends on the condition, how many cracks are in the street and so on. Okay. The cracks don't go away. Yeah, they're just kind of sealed up.
Yeah. But you seal them with rubberized asphalt?
Usually a hot, is what's what we would recommend.
Is there a percentage like cities use for like, okay, slurry project versus the asphalt? I mean, is there? Do they sort of say, okay, typically we're going to deal with streets and this is sort of a percentage, or is it just sort of arbitrary, do you think?
From it depends
on the city. because if it is a election year, everybody, you know, some cities are broken into districts. Mm-hmm.
So every district gets a say. Right. So every council person would get a say on, I need these streets in my district done this year. The other guy wants, I want my district done. And so on. So it's kind of a fair way to do it because everybody on the council gets to, and maybe that's a nice olive branch to other people, say, okay, who in my neighborhood is complaining the most, and let's look at that street, what is a PCI, can we do 5 streets here, 4 streets there, whatever, and just because for slurry, there's not, you don't have like a mobilization type of issue. They can do it anywhere, whenever. It's a pretty quick process. So the key would be to actually, if we're not comfortable with the evaluation that these guys have done, would be to actually look at the streets and say, okay, is this really, truly in the condition that they've stated? And if not, we need to do some more serious rehabilitation rather than just sealing.
Well, it sounds like we should have 2 programs set up, because it sounds like the one is really complementary to the other. It isn't.
Well, the cost is so dramatically different. You got to look at it.
And the thing is, per our PCIs, per our PMP, they pretty much all fall. Every single street falls into the 1 to 5 year time frame. So we can either extend the life of our streets in the near future, especially if we have a budget crunch, or we can just tactfully, and I'm looking for input on, what percentage of our budget do you think we should spend on rehab versus, versus slurry. Because, maybe we want to spend 200, 300,000 or 50% or maybe 20%, I don't know. But without looking at, I think the first step would be maybe to divvy up these streets and have, if you're comfortable looking at the streets and determining from a pavement condition, if you think it'll last another 3 to 5 years as is. If you look at it and go, oh my God, there's no way this is going to fall apart before, with the next rainstorm, then we could say, okay, this is definitely a street for rehab. It's not going to last 5 years.
Or are the poorest streets the best ones to rehab, and then the ones that aren't all the way down a poor, better to slurry seal just to preserve them? There's that conversation too. I mean, if it's poor, it's already pretty far behind, and will slurry be much of a band-aid.
Right.
That's a thought.
But did you say all our PCIs are within this?
Generally all our PCIs, because 1 to 5 year range for local streets is 46 to 65.
65.
Yeah.
So most of our PCIs are around 65.
Are generally that or higher, yeah. So 6 to 10 year, the next step up is 66 to 80 for local streets, and that gives you 6 to 10 years. So, some of our streets are in excellent condition. Yeah, they're up 86 or something much higher. So those could almost be ignored for the first, for the next few years. And we could address, we could do maybe a cutoff, anything that's between 46 and 65. The
Appendix
1 to 5 year.
Yeah. Appendix B has the PCI ratings.
Yes, Appendix B, which should have been in the copy of the PMP that was handed out originally. Mm-hmm.
Could you send us the PCI, that document in your left hand there, that's got the discussion about the pavement condition?
Sure, it's kind of like a 101, description of what they do and what, how they categorize.
So do you have any cost information you were looking at?
The slurry seed is a little bit very low. I mean, from all the bids that we get,
What are you getting?
We're getting 55 cents.
For slurry?
That's for slurry only. Does not include the crack sealing. So normally it comes out then about 75 cents a square foot.
For overlay?
What's the quality of that?
This is, even though it's not that much, is about 75,000 square feet, which is not as much. But from all the different... other locations that we've done.
It
comes out about 55.
But this was like a citywide.
Still significantly cheaper.
So,
without a doubt.
Plus, there's a big difference between the cost of the slurry and rehab.
Sure.
No doubt.
Sure, yeah.
You know, that is about three times difference, you know. Mm-hmm. But it just, for budget purposes, it's good to have it budgeted between $75 a square foot, and the reason is that you need to do some R&R on some of the bad spots because it's not, you don't want to just do a full slurry without removing any potholes or any alligator cracking and so on and all that. So it's approximately... for budget purposes, I say $1 a square foot. So it includes everything. It's also, if there is need any striping that needs to be done, it'll be covered within that range.
Generally, we wouldn't recommend doing R&R during a slurry seal project. They don't typically do that because that's a separate operation and you have to bring in hot mix and so on. It's one thing if you have damaged streets, and perhaps on any street that needs R&R really shouldn't be slurry sealed. It should be rehabbed because you're paying just to get a truck out with the asphalt, you're paying a premium. Even if it's a 10 by 10 patch, it doesn't make sense economically to do that with a slurry program, and most agencies do not. It's strictly slurry. So they come out, they seal the cracks, and they do it. If you have failed pavement areas, then those streets really should be considered for rehab because you're going to you'll have a whole operation, a paving operation out there. You're going to get better costs on your asphalt loads, and it just makes it's a lot more efficient if you address those failures. Now, it's one thing if it's a public safety issue, if there's a sinkhole developing because there's a water leak or, that's different. That's like emergency repairs. But to try to do R&R with a slurry, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense financially.
But the reason is that the PCI is low. That's because there is a lot of cracks, because there is a lot of potholes, there is a lot of other things. Otherwise, when you're having in the 50s or 60s, that means they need some R&R to be done on that street. I mean, and that becomes
not
a policy
to the
issue.
Definition.
Yeah, becomes a policy issue. You know, I'm of the type is that I'd like to take care of any cracks, any alligators, potholes, and so on, and take care of it before it's slurry. So this way, the slurry will last longer and looks, much better rather than all the cracks is going to show within the year or 2 years.
That's fine for collectors and arterials. I mean, for the higher level streets with heavier traffic loads, I would agree because now if the requirements are different for the higher traveled streets. And if you have an arterial, it's not going to be evaluated the same as you would local streets. Mm-hmm. But in Villa Park, the majority of our streets are local. So why should we be paying a premium to do all this rehab on a street that can last 3 to 5 years? Or if it's that bad, really, then the PCI maybe is wrong. They didn't evaluate it properly, and it really needs a rehab now. It should have been maybe a 40 or a 37 because there's so many cracks and there's failures and there's pot. If there's like big potholes, my goodness, that
so
shouldn't
what's
be
the difference
a,
between,
a 1 to 5 year.
What's the difference if you overlay, not overlay, the if you grind it down and do those streets, like redo those? The 3 to 5 years for a slurry, you're saying, right? And that's what you, what do you buy for 5 to 10 is what you said? Or
10.
My concern is from a budgetary perspective, 3 to 5 years is nothing. Right. That's not gonna, you know, I mean, it's not even an economic cycle. So you're really just kicking the can, not even very far down the road.
Right.
So that's my concern.
But how
budgetary.
Much you're paying for it, I mean, I think.
No, I mean, but that's the thing. If you're going to be back where you are now in 3 to 5 years, are you sort of, it's like sort of like, do you pay your debt now or do you pay it later? And have you really bought much except, I'm just thinking budgetarily, resource use, what's the best use for your dollar? Do you just go ahead and let's fix, I mean, it's a philosophical budget policy question, but I'm thinking is, okay, it's like sort of, do you temporarily fix or do you got to redo it? Let's redo it and bite the bullet because you're going to buy more time and, you know,
yeah,
and you don't know
thing,
where you're going to be budgetarily. Things can change in very quickly. And three to 5 years is not very much time that you're buying.
I understand, but I think I kind of agree what she's saying is, since you've got limited budget, right? So how you want to use those dollars in most effective way so you fix the most problem areas.
No,
right?
I agree. I think what I'm
and
saying...
And it's a good PR thing, too. I mean, when people start to see that, you know, their streets are getting sealed...
I would think that the percentage... You want to be careful of that percentage so that you don't go too heavy with the slurry. I think you really do need... We have structural issues that we need to deal with. So that's my concern is that, you know, I don't want to... Sort of, it's sort of like how much credit card debt can you end up having? Yeah, you can make payments, and we bought 3 to 5 years of payments, but we're end up going to still have that big principal we're going to have to deal with. So I, you know, part of me says, let's deal with as much of the principal as you can. I mean, I'm thinking financially, not, so I'm trying to balance it. So I don't know that you want to go one way entirely or the other. Mm-hmm. You want to keep a balance, and what that balance is, I'm curious if there's an industry standard or something. They say, well, 30% of your budget should always go towards slurry or 40, or but you're saying it's pretty arbitrary.
Yeah, it is.
But I think, you know, one of the things that we look at as engineers, and when they give us an area to evaluate, the first thing we look at is like, okay, if you leave the street as is for another 3 years, you're going to have to go to reconstruction. Mm-hmm. So if you go ahead and do like an overlay right now, you can probably get another 10 years out of the street, and you don't have to spend the money 5 years down the line to reconstruct this whole street and spend all of your budget. Mm-hmm. So that was typically our first priority is the streets that are teetering on complete reconstruction versus getting 10 years just by doing something now. Yeah. And basically the thing that we've noticed is, and that's a question to Akram, is did anybody verify any of these PCI index? I mean, I know the city hired somebody to do those, and I know Dotson was a problem. Robbie Circle is a problem. My question is, how reliable is this PCI index, and has anybody reviewed? I mean, obviously you pay them, so they submitted their report. I don't expect you to go to every street, but it happened. We just looked at a few of them. Honestly, we don't see it. I don't know what they see. And so my first look would be look at this PCI index and see if it is really what it is.
Okay, just verify. Yeah.
Just verify.
Just start with, like, my list. I just started with the ones that they categorized as poor, excluding arterials, excluding the major streets. So for the locals, this is the list of what they categorized as poor. So if we maybe could divvy up these streets.
You don't want to divvy up those because some of those are being done as part of the project.
Okay.
So we could take those off. So we can revise the list of what's being done.
Yeah, basically, did you have a chance to look at it?
Yes, we cannot go into every street and redo the whole job. We took a few samples and visited and so on.
Okay.
There was some
you know, we requested from them, we had to relook at them and review it. Yes, but we didn't do the whole area. Yes, right. We did, but we took a few samples and went out on the field and to verify. But again, you got to remember, from one inspector to another, their looks at the cracking and so on and all that, and it's different if you walk the whole street and measure every cracks and define it versus say it is being done automatically through a windshield survey. So that is makes it, you know, some difference.
So did they do a windshield survey? This
yeah, this is was a windshield survey. That is correct. Okay. With the automation, you know.
The very thing subjective. Is, if you want to base reconstruction on windshield survey, that's a big risk.
Yeah, well, you cannot take it fully and like that, and it's, you know, when you start, okay, the way, let me explain, the way I look at it and so on, it's, I take it as this is kind of like a basis. We go check the actual streets and verify it ourselves at the time when we start planning for which street we're going to do. At the same time, and we make a list of these. We check also with if we have any complaints from residents and so on and all that. So when we have a more of kind of like a first draft list of streets, then we look at also at the same time any sewer. And if we have any sewer projects within that streets. So we look at that list also too, and we kind of like see, okay, which one we need to combine together and so on, because if we need to do a sewer project this year, I'd like to do the street around the same time. So it looks, rather than a patch, it looks as a new street. So those are some of the things. Again, then we look at the neighborhood. So if we need to do, for example, one street in the neighborhood, is the other street, does it need to be done or not? When is it on the list? And that's why some of the streets that we have in this year, you have a street that's going to be rehab, but the couple of the neighborhood's streets are being studied. So this way we can finalize that neighborhood. So this way the resident won't come in to the council or to the city manager and say, oh, they did my neighbor's street and my street has never been done for 10 years. So it's kind of like a combination. It's not a, and at least this is how I look at it, and trying to look at it from all kind of directions to come up with a.
I think you need to keep in mind that the adjacent neighbors may say that while you're doing that next the street next door, you haven't done mine. But there's also the other feedback we get is why you've done that street and my street's in more terrible condition and you ignored it.
Yeah. No, definitely. And it's a matter of balance. That's why when we finalize a list, we come to the city council and says, okay, here it is, and we put it on a map, and we show what has been done over the years and what is being proposed this year. So that's how we look at it. I understand there is a, sometimes it's good to slurry a lot of streets, and it'll buy some life, 3 to 5 years, and at the same time, it is a good PR because it's looks better. But that doesn't mean that we're taking care of the street. We might have to come back after 3 years to do actual rehab and so on. But again, that's a policy issue. You know, whatever it's necessary.
I guess that's what you're saying. What recommendations are coming
out? Right. Well. I'm also saying that it would be more efficient for the city to break it up. It sounds logical and well-meaning, but I think to stretch our dollars more, it would be more cost-effective to have a standing slurry program that's separate from the rehab program. And rehab, AC overlay, keep in mind that you can only do that maybe twice, because on narrow streets, by the time you, you know, it's put too much overlay on a street, there's going to be a point in time where this, the section gets too steep, and the only way to correct that is to take it all the way down and reconstruct it. So it's part of the problem Orange is having right now, right? With every intersection, you're bumping Cattell and Handy every morning. Those cars making the ride onto Cattell to go to the freeway. Scrape, scrape. You just one after the other. You wait at that light, and they're all like bumping through. That's a design problem.
That's true.
And it's because they've cheaped out and have overlaid the street probably five times in the past 20 years or whatever. So they don't want to correct the issue, but it's become a problem now. Mm-hmm. So overlay is not the end-all solution. It's a cheap solution to get you 10 years approximately. But, you know, there has to be some design consideration in that too. And that's why, you know, sometimes they do plans, not always. But for slurry, why are we wasting money doing plans? You know, paying these people to do plans for something that's not necessary. It's just a...
Yeah.
So if you have a standalone program for whatever amount of money you can set aside, then you're right. It kind of makes more people happy when they see something looking a little bit nicer.
And also, I think you probably know this better, but some of the larger cities, don't they have on-call contractors that actually, you know, you negotiate rates, you know, per year.
The thing with slurry, the more you do, generally the unit costs go down. But when you have the overlay contractor who's hauling in hot mix, then he has to bring in an emulsion truck separately. You're paying a premium to do that. If you were to do like a half the city or whatever, you'd probably get a really good bid. Just because that's all they're doing. They're going to come and slurry, crack seal, slurry, and leave. And there's people that do only slurry, and they don't do overlay and the major rehab work.
So the key is, I guess, like how much, if this is the money, how much of it should be set aside for slurry, like, or if there is any pot of money that you can think of, or... Can you guys, I mean, with your context, I know you said it changes from city to city, but like if we can get some kind of an idea, like they spend $5 on slurry, but, you know, $25 on repairs or something. So is that like a 20%, you know, 25%?
It sounds like it varies. Yeah. That was my question. I think it varies from city.
It varies from city to city, agency to agency, and year to year, based on their budgets. Yeah. And a lot of times... slurry will be one of the budget items that they'll hack along with rehab. But, you know, that, I mean, everyone complains that they want better infrastructure, but a lot of times that's the first item to go, right? Mm-hmm. So, there's the argument, didn't somebody just argue that we wanted to do the worst streets first, too? If we only have $500,000, we can't even do all, if let's say these are all in poor condition, and Dodson's not on here. You know, if these are all in poor condition and we should probably overlay them now, we can't even do all of these in 1 year without any slurry. So what do we want to focus on? Do we want to maybe spend the next two fiscal cycles just doing the worst streets? Get those up to, you know, then they'll be good for maybe 10 years. And then we can focus on the slurry and do a heck of a lot more the third year. And, you know, since the majority of our streets are within that, classified within that 1 to 5. That's the question on the table.
A couple of years ago, we did a patch program where we had $30,000 just for doing patches around town. And we got a lot of patches. There were a number of streets where the street overall was in good condition, but you had one area where there was, you know, a 10 by 10 or 10 by 15, whatever, where there was a lot of alligating and subsidence. And they went, you know, took it out, patched it, and it seems like those streets are in pretty good, still remaining pretty good condition. For example, there was right at the corner of Vita and Fernando, there was right in that northeast corner, there was a big area where it was subsidence and alligatoring, and we patched it And now at least that part of Vita is in good condition. So I guess my thought is that part of the preventive maintenance program would be doing some patches to repair, you know, structural failures where the street is otherwise in good condition. That's one part of preventive maintenance that I would think that we'd look at. Another would be, you know, in addition to the programmatic repair of our streets, you know, the annual, whether we do slurry seal or, you know, reconstruction or whatever, but also what can our maintenance crews do? And one thing I've done a little research on with Caltrans is they recommend that to maintain your streets, if you can just have a regular program where you go through and do crack seals, just, you know, blow it, and they describe it as being about as difficult as mowing a lawn. And, you know, maybe if maybe that would be a higher and better use of our maintenance guys to do some of that as part of their weekly routine. You know, not every street, but just, you know, keep looking for cracks and, you know, blowing some out and filling them.
That would definitely, I think, help at least hold down costs and
that's keep things moving. You know, how can we go as far as we can with what we've got?
Right.
But I think that's, you know, we should be factoring all that into our overall pavement management program. You know, how can we prevent, by implementing preventive maintenance, keep our costs down?
Mm-hmm. Is this something you guys want to think about? Or, I mean, it's not a really good discussion. I don't...
Well, patching, yeah, those are...
No, I'm just thinking of percentages and things like that. I mean, it sounds like
right. It's okay. $30,000 is not a lot of money, it sounds like. So... I mean,
yeah, I think it's just a matter of how we ended up. When the contractor came back, we ended up actually patching twice as much as we thought we could patch. Hmm. You know, that was 2 years ago. The world has changed, but
we'll see how those patches hold up. Hopefully, you did a good job.
It just sounds like we're trying to make a really big decision on like how we want to run our maintenance program of our streets right now, right? And it's hard to really make that call without like really seeing all the data. You know, what percentage of streets would actually fall apart in 3 years if we didn't do something? What percentage really need an
overlay? Well, we have the PMP that tells us that. That's what the PMP is for.
Are we trusting the PCI index though? What caught me was when you said, I looked at it on Google and it looks like it's in, you know, there's all these things that I'm like,
well, like you look at Dotson, and Dotson, I think, was a 75.
Right, it was a high PCI.
You walk that street, and it's like, this can't be a 75.
Yeah.
Where Robbie Circle looked like it was perfectly fine with maybe a few little longitudinal cracks or block-type cracks, but it's they were driving very, very fast, sort of buzzing through those streets.
I think Bill made a great, great point. We've got to verify some of our data, make sure that it's real. Yeah,
and that data can come from many sources, whether it's resident complaints. So maybe the first thing is, has somebody made a list of streets for next fiscal year that are scheduled for any type of rehab, or whether it's slurry or a grind and overlay? Has that been done yet?
We started it, but the problem is SB1 revenues change dramatically what we can or can't do, so it's sort of like we may not even be able to finish where we are now. So we're kind of like starting that, and typically what the city has done in the past for major projects has done two-year cycles for two-year mod projects, so we don't dedicate $500,000 or $400,000 each year. It's we build a bigger project and get more done because we got volume and those kinds of things. So that's typically how we've done it over the years. Now, I don't think it's the best or not the best. It just, that's the pattern. So typically it hasn't, the list has not been next year's. Now, we know the list that would fall in next line. Question is how much or any money we're going to have, and we're probably not going to know that, at least probably till the early spring, candidly, on some of the budget stuff.
Can we see that list?
Can we see the list?
Sure, yeah.
If you can email it to us, that would be great. Then we can also Independently look at it. Each person can go look at it and
yeah, and I would caution that the only thing I would caution, and then you know this too, no matter what this group says, I can guarantee you, you pull five residents and all five residents will say something else depending mm-hmm. on what street they live on, and mm-hmm. and they'll say, well, my street's terrible. And I had somebody call on one street, and I'll just leave it, and I went down that street, and I thought, wow, this is really a pretty good street. But yeah. they thought it needed to be done, and I'm like, okay, I just didn't say anything, but they said, you need to come out and see this. And I went out and saw it, and I'm like, okay, this is one of the better streets in Villa Park.
Yes.
And I'm kind of thinking, you and you see that too when you walk. So, but the resident, oh my God, she swore at me on the phone, just... She cussed me out.
Because I know which one you're talking about.
Huh? Yeah. And it wasn't done. And I'm like, okay, I'm not going to argue about it. But it's yeah. like...
But I think a slurry seal program would go a long way to addressing that, whether it's a significant sure. or a very small percentage well, of the budget. But, I mean, you can't placate everybody with
yeah, it. But maybe one way to look at this is, okay, we've got... Let's look at the categories of streets we've got. We've got, like, Wanda, Ville Park Road... Santiago as it goes north, Taft, those are streets that are probably going to be eligible for some county funding.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, that's one category of streets. Then we've got other streets that are, our collector streets like Center, which are, our streets. I don't know if those would be eligible. Yeah. And they're going to get more traffic, but maybe, we may not need to have as high a PCI rating on that as, but on our residential streets, I mean, we've got, all of our streets are lined with million-dollar homes, mm-hmm. and those people are going to expect their streets to be in pretty fair condition. So maybe for each of these categories, we should be, maybe if we could develop a target, say, okay, for residential streets, maybe the target is a minimum PCI of 75, let's say. And what is it? And then, as we come up with criteria, okay, what would it take in terms of an overall long-term program to maintain those streets, in that condition over time? And, in terms of what would it take in terms of overlays and slurry seals and so forth? And then what would the cost be? And then, factor in, okay, what do we need to budget? Because the city council, none of us on city council has a clue as to what the appropriate way to maintain streets is. That's why we've got a committee. I think we need to develop recommendations. We're going concern, we're going to be in business forever. So we need to be, if we could develop a plan for how can we maintain the streets at a target level and give that feedback to council, and we may find out that we do or don't have enough money in our ongoing revenue stream to be able to maintain the streets in that condition. And then, other policy decisions can be made.
And that exercise may help, I think, her argument that maybe slurry seal will get you to that target level PCI.
Well, the PMP, that's exactly what your PMP is for. And they state that in their, that's part of their analysis. It describes, if you want to keep your PCI index the same, just maintain as is, this is how much it costs. And there's another little table next to it that if you want to increase your PCI index to 75 or whatever they say in the report, you have to spend this amount of money. So that data, I think, has already been somewhat provided in what the PMP did. But the question is just... It was quite a difference in money from what I recall reading or looking over the first time. So it's that increase in funding, which I think they said was around $900,000 a year to increase it to the higher PCI overall, we didn't have.
But I think he's saying, and I don't want to speak for you, but you're talking about certain types of areas. So not that was an overall assessment.
Right.
If you were to say, okay, residential we want to have here, collectors we want to have here, arterials we're going to let not be the, we're not going to factor that. I think that's what you're saying,
yeah.
Right? So maybe we have varying targets as opposed to let's bring the whole, I think that assessment was the whole PCI rating, keeping it where it is, versus targeting, okay, we're going to target residential, and we want all our residential to be at such and such. We want our collectors to be at such and such.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
And also, it may, as a layman, I would think that a residential street, it's not going to have as heavy traffic. You're not going to have as heavy trucks going through it for the most part. You're not going to have as many vehicle trips per day on the. It may take require less maintenance to keep a residential street at a certain level. And those are the streets that are going to be of greatest concern to our residents. You know, so.
No, the residential is what they call about. They don't call about Wanda. They don't call about. They do not call about Santiago. They call us about, you know, James or.
You look at Serrano down between Santiago and Nichols, and it's just terrible. But I don't think we've gotten a complaint.
I do not get complaints from. Never get a complaint about Lemon or Center or any of those streets. I get complaints all the time about like James or Robbie's. Or I mean, those are the ones that you get. You know, or. Or Adams Ranch, or you know, those are the individual streets, that, the residentials that they come home every day, and that's what they're all of a sudden they're turning into a driveway, and that's what they see.
Yeah, that's part of your home or your neighborhood. It's,
you look out the street, and there you are. Yeah. But that's the issue.
So for these streets that have $1 million homes on them, the only way to achieve that, I think expectations for people who live on these streets. Is to do an overlay program, which is a grind and overlay program on all these streets, and forget the slurry seal. Because slurry seal is not going to give anybody the look, the Irvine look, okay, mm-hmm. which they are expecting. So the only way that we can achieve that for the residential streets is to do a grind and overlay program and put all of our money into that. So with that in mind, you know, so for the poorest, we can pick or we can discover, find out what the poorest streets are, whether it's by district, by location, or complaint, or PCI index, or whatever it is. Select those knowing that we can only do this much per year to the level of the expectations in this neighborhood. And that's what we're limited to. Slurry is not going to give them the Irvine look. And I think that's what you're saying, most people. I mean, that's what I would like on my street.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather not have it slurried again and have those cracks reemerge in a couple of years. But
for the layman, a lot of people will not really detect, like you.
Yeah, so for my street,
I live in Brett, and we've
got cracks and things and everything, and it's a nice neighborhood. Built in the 70s, but they slurried it, and I'm not kidding, every single name, they could have cared less about, it looked better. That's what they said, it looked better. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if they fixed any structure, I doubt they did, because I think they just, it was like a two-day job in and out, but oh my God, every one of my neighbors is like, isn't this great, it's so much better. I mean, it's like, do you realize we may still have sinkholes here, or this or that, or whatever. They don't care. From a million-dollar home, or we don't have a million-dollar home now, there, but exactly what you're saying. It looks like you say for the layman. You're professionals, and you have a level of knowledge and expertise that the average layman doesn't have about what's been done to your street. Now, on your street, yeah, you want it to be done right, but you know, I mean, I got residents to say if you just you paint it black, they'll think it looks better. Right? I mean, you know what I mean? They just paint it black.
Really, it will look better.
That is what a slurry seal is. It's a paint job, but there's even different levels, and there's.
Yeah.
There's really crappy or very poor different materials that people will try to sell you in lieu of. They're, you know, like flake off. And so there's a good slurry, and then there's a not so good alternatives that would be.
But from cheaper. A PR perspective, that Bill was saying, painting it black is a lot of what these people are, most of them will be happy with. I don't mean to be, that's the right thing to do, but I'm going to tell you that's what. You do that to them, and they're like shaking your hand.
According to the city's PMP, all of our streets fall within that category in the city.
Yeah.
So in reality, if we were to trust what the PMP says, we could buy as many, you know, 3 to 5 years and do regular slurry. Keeping in mind that some of the streets are already in 70s and 80s. So really, that falls into like a 6 to 10 year window.
Well, it sounds like some of the key is validating some of where we are, like you suggested, Bill. And then, you know, I defer to you guys about what's the appropriate mix. I don't. There's no magic number to me that seems to. I don't. Budgetarily, the only thing I can say is, and this is just budgetarily, you should never count on your financial situation to improve. You should never count on that. You should always say, this is what we got, and it's not going to get better financially. So if we have a budget of $500, you say, we'll have $550 next year. No, I don't plan on that. If anything, go the other direction, just simply because of economies and things like that. You're safer to be conservative. So I never figure, if you're figuring, well, we'll buy time and then we'll have more money, then that's not going to happen. So figure that you've got a constant or a decreasing revenue stream. That's just a safe bet.
Yeah, and if you look at the tax roll from January of this year, ours, I think there were only three cities that had a lower percentage increase than Villa Park in assessed valuation.
We had a 4% growth, which is good, but it's not compared to, you know, I mean, we're going to hit a housing dip here. And we're going to hit that dip, and there's no question they're predicting. I've heard people say it was 2017, 18, but we're not there now. It's probably a year or two away. But the 2008, 2007 area, we hit that, and our revenues are going to decline. And that's going to become a different reality for the finance. So you don't want to be in a situation where you're there. So that's my only caution from I'm just budgetary voice here I'd offer.
So should we take a deeper dive on this next meeting and really make the whole meeting about pavement and not talk about a bunch of other projects and really kind of focus in and try to get some kind of closure on a recommendation? Because it's a lot.
Would be a really good time, because as we develop our budget for next year, January, February is when we start to really get to those.
Okay.
And so now would be a good time if you, like November, December, come up with some sort of recommendations and we can incorporate those into the budget. It becomes a lot better than giving us a number in April or giving us a recommendation in April and we've already developed our budget in February. So be really appropriate, I think, to...
Yeah, in previous budgets, it's been just a... whatever felt comfortable for the council is how much we'll budget. And it's like, well, we've got a lot of other things we want to do, so we're going to spend, $300,000 this two-year cycle on pavement management, which was inadequate. But, we need the input from some experts to tell us, okay, what should we really be thinking about budgeting? And, getting back to, getting some targets, say, well, look, if we want be able to promise every resident in the city that your street will at least be at a 75, what will it take to get there? Mm-hmm. But, on the other hand, is it okay if our collector streets are at a 60?
It's a lot of balancing, and I think that you guys are the professionals, so especially you two deal with a lot of this, all of you deal with other cities. That would help just to know what other cities sort of, the best business practice type of thing is what's there, And I don't want to say a city that's barely surviving type of city, because there are some cities out there that are just, I don't know that we want to model ourselves after those.
Yeah, and if you, as we look
you know
at
it, you know what I mean?
As but, we look at other cities, like, Fullerton keeps coming up. Well, Fullerton has a lot of industrial stuff, and the industrial streets are just trashed. And so their overall PCI may be way down there, but I'm not sure that all the residential streets are trashed. It's, other streets that may not be of the greatest concern to the residents.
You guys have experience with other cities, and you probably know which ones would be comparable and sort of the look. Like you mentioned Irvine, we're not Irvine, we're not going to be Irvine, and they have construction zones, et cetera. But there are other cities that are us that you could say they're comparable usage and residential mixes that we have.
But then again, their home prices per square foot are double of what they are in Villa Park. So there's a reason for that, and maybe part of that is infrastructure, because they do maintain and they put in nice infrastructure. They're a monopoly too, but Irvine company makes sure of that.
You're talking about Irvine? They've got different constructs.
Right. But I mean, when you go into that city, you expect something. And you don't expect, run down or, too rural of an atmosphere. So this is a little bit different, but definitely maybe the starting point, if we could see the list of what you guys have kind of narrowed in on for the next fiscal year for street improvements. And if Akram can also send me what you guys are budgeting for the overlay streets, then maybe we can start taking a look at... or if you have other suggestions for streets that you know of that need to be have attention sooner rather than later. That would be helpful. And we can maybe mark up the list with what's already been done.
Yeah, Doug, yeah, that's, and that if way you look can at just Appendix B, those, then we can have him update that to show these have been changed. Project
completed.
Yeah. That's okay. What you're thinking,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we don't have to worry about those for now.
That's easy enough to do.
Okay.
We are.
Great. So.
I do like your idea, though, Dave, of sort of focusing because we.
More on the stuff next meeting. Not sure,
yeah,
we're done yet. You know?
No, I agree.
Okay, so for next meeting, we'll
lighten up the agenda. We
can take Cannon Wall off for now.
Yeah.
I
don't need to hear project updates all the time. I mean,
sure,
they're, yeah, going along fine. I think we can really just make it our agenda for next time.
Okay.
I don't know what you want and how you want to handle the rest of the agenda because we said 9 o'clock is typically our break time.
So a quick update maybe on
the high school, we did agree to a traffic flow plan there that is much improved over the current situation. We put a lot of pressure on the school district and eventually they listened, actually listened very well in the end of the day. So we're going to be utilizing you may have already seen it, we've posted it and things, but we're using the light that exists at Nichols and Taft to improve our inflow outflow. So there'll be two different separate entry points. For eastbound and westbound, we'll have different entry points. A much longer drop-off area. So it's the drop-off that typically had happened on Taft will now happen on campus. So we transferred over, and we're using a regulated light for left-hand turns that would obstruct traffic on eastbound traffic on Taft. So I think we've improved there. So the school district is moving forward in the project. They're going out to bid, or I think they're already out to bid, and I think they're planning on for the demo work to start in December.
And Nichols will be a four-way light now, correct?
It'll be a four-way light, correct.
Oh, very good.
Yes. Yeah, I have to think of the school, but there'll be, you cannot exit from the school and go straight over Nichols. That would be the only thing.
Okay.
You won't be able to exit as you're coming out of the school. You have to go east or west. You will not be able to go straight up Nichols, which makes sense because of this. It'll regulate the traffic easier.
We can touch maybe on the last or 7 and 8 real quickly. Would it be possible to see a map or an exhibit, or not that you have to prepare something, but have you actually developed like your safe routes to school, your ADA, where you want?
You know what, I mean, Akron just gave me a list of the access ramps that these do not have. What do you say? This is the list of the that do not have an ADA curb ramp.
Where one is required or needed.
This is the listing. So we've inventoried that, so that's what the starting point of some of the discussion is and we need to address. So.
And is there a layout or something that would tell us where we're looking at the new access? I know Mayor Colcott described it last meeting, coming off of meets, is that right? Serrano access, new
Serrano
access off the back.
Yeah, it's just a general concept at this point.
Is there something on a little map that we could see what the...
We haven't developed that yet. I think it's one of those things where the school district wants to kick it until after the election, see where things are. But what I discussed with the superintendent is, they're bringing drop-off traffic or pick-up
traffic.
Sounds
like a great idea.
Off of Meads. Generally down the west side of the campus and then exit on Serrano. There may need to be some convolutions of that, but that's for the idea is that we would, our engineering group would work with the school district and come up with, how can that work and meet their drop-off requirements?
Yeah, the school district, for whatever reason, they're doing their bids on the projects and things like that. So they've sort of said, like you say, I think he...
Yeah, hold off until they're trying to deal with the science building right now.
Okay.
The
science building, and they've got Fred Kelly Stadium.
Right.
And there's a big debate, I don't know if you realize it, over at El Medina because they've got a pool that they're trying to decide on, and that's become a subject of their school board meetings about how large the pool replacement is. That's unanticipated. their planning group is kind of like overwhelmed, but they have acknowledged that they want to meet on this and they're willing to meet on this. They just don't have time right now, or like you said, I think the mayor said it well.
And on the on the ADA compliance, we'll take a look at where these are and maybe how they're connected. And I did want to say that there's a November 15th deadline, I think, for OCTA sustainability grant program, which this grant program would fit into, I believe. And from what I've seen, it's like a $50,000 minimum ask, and the city's contribution is percentage is like a little under 12%, 11 point something. So it might be a, I mean, the deadline's coming up quickly, but if we've established a safe routes to school type of program,
there is.
Aquam's
not here, so I can't defer
to So it might be something to look out for.
Yeah,
next
it's
time.
A good idea.
And next item number nine. Any comments?
Dave, you talked about the committee review. Should we agendize something? What do you think we want to do?
Yeah, if we're going to do the focus thing next time and maybe the following meeting, we can do just a committee self-evaluation, I guess, call it. I can come up with an agenda for it.
Are there thoughts about how you want to do that, or what do you think?
I can put an agenda together and share it with everybody.
But how the self-evaluation, what are your thoughts?
We sit around the table and we talk about our committee. We talk about, you know, our meeting frequency, the things that we're working on. Are we... What kind of value are we providing? What kind of adjustments should we be making after doing this for a year? What are we noticing? Things like that.
Okay. Right. Any other comments before we close?
So I'll put that on the not the next meeting.
Yeah, maybe the one after.
Yeah. Okay. Sure.
Next meeting, please. When are you available?
Getting into holidays.
Next week, I would say. Next month is that would put us right on Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah.
So probably. Unless I have plans on Thanksgiving, I apologize. But for those of you who want to meet, you're free to.
Adios.
Yeah, it's surprising because Thanksgiving, I always think of it like the 25th. It's like it's really
early
this year.
What day
is it this year?
22nd, 23rd.
Yeah.
The weekend.
23rd is Friday.
That's part of the weekend. The day's off.
That's the best holiday of the year. I always like that because you got the 4 days and you always count on Friday with businesses are open and everything. Yeah. It's kind of fun.
Yeah.
What about the 15th? Is that too soon? Or Thursday the
15th?
The 29th is the last week right after.
Mm-hmm. Right after Thanksgiving. The week after.
That works too for me.
That would be. It's fine here either.
29th or 15th?
Either works for me.
Okay. No, just
How
try
about
the
you,
29th
Matt?
And then.
29th.
Okay. 29th, that is.
7:30 again?
7:30, please.
Okay.
That's November. And any other items before we close? Seeing none, we're adjourned. 906.